and no theories.
Because they've got a way of blowing them theories out the walls and out the windows and over the roof. And you say, well, I read in the book where when you do this, you're supposed to do that. And sometimes them books work, sometimes they don't. You only got one real book that's right on rearing children all the time, and that's this book right here. There have been a lot of great books wrote by psychologists and child rearing and child development and all that stuff. And it's okay as long as it's biblical. You heard that, didn't you? It's okay as long as it's biblical. Nothing wrong with child psychology or child counseling, child development, as long as it's biblical. Where it's not biblical, it's just to be filed in a waste basket and with other trash. Because it won't get the job done. Somebody said old Dr. Spock ought to get spanked. And I reckon that's the truth. And I'm going to bring you a message this morning on what a responsibility it is to raise children. All right, now everyone get settled down. I know these babies are a little extra rowdy this morning. If you need to use the nursery, you just follow any of those doors, go around this way. The nurseries are back there in the corner of the building. And we want everybody to be able to hear. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. If God's blessed you with a baby, He has given you, mother, daddy, a reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man, he's broke too, that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'd rather be happy and broke than have a lot of money and be miserable, wouldn't you? I heard somebody said, "Boy, we're not never going to have any children. I want to have my social life. I don't want to be tied down with a bunch of little snotty-nosed brats. I don't want stretch marks on my gut. I don't want..." That's the way a lot of people think these days. Their attitude is, "I do not want to ruin me with children." Boy, I found out the greatest, happiest, blessed, most wonderful time you'll ever have in your life is learning to raise a child. Now, I believe it's a real responsibility to raise a child this morning. And you have a responsibility as a parent. And I want to go over with you just a little bit about what that responsibility is. We have many, many of them. And I believe in this generation it is still possible to raise a child to do right and to fear God. I don't believe the Lord would have told us to do something that we could not do. People say, well, it's impossible to raise kids right these days. Not so, according to the Word of God. It's difficult. It's a task. It's hard to practice what you preach. It's hard to say, don't do as I do as I say do. It's hard not to do that. It's real hard to set an example in front of your children and be consistent so they can see an example in you and want to follow your example. I'll tell you something that's even harder than that. It's hard to live in love with the Lord so much that your children want to love the Lord that you love. That's a hard task. And the task of every parent here this morning, for these little babies that come in and these that are coming on up, is to make Jesus so real in your life that when your kid gets up 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, they're going to say, "I want the Lord that my mama's got. I want the Lord that my daddy has got. He's real. He's real." You know, Susanna Wesley was a great mother, and she raised 19 children. And during the 1700s, 17 of them, I think, lived. Two of them children became great men of God, Charles and John Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote a lot of those hymns in our hymn book that we still use. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. There's ever been a man that walked with God since the days of the Apostle Paul, it was John Wesley.
And Susanna Wesley raised those boys and girls, and she taught them two things. She said, I teach them first to cry softly. Isn't that wild? Even though there were 17 kids in the house, they said it was quiet in her house. She said, I teach them to cry softly. You know, a kid can just cry and snob and snub, or they can go, ah! Now, our kids nowadays need to learn. What they're trying to do there is get an attention. She said, teach them.
Watch it.
Teach them to cry softly. Now, you stick one of them things in their mouth. One of them little inner tubes. Put a little honey on it or something so they can get something off of it and they'll get it. Now, but anyway, that's what she said. Teach them to cry softly. And she said also, she said, I taught them at an early age to fear the rod. I'll be dealing with that a little bit more in just a minute. But that's something children don't learn much these days, to fear the rod. Now, you know the Bible only teaches one way to discipline a child, and that is with the rod. I know it don't mean one that big, but it may be more like this little antenna right here. You know what we call that? We call that a switch. Now, how many of you parents, when you were growing up, you took to the woodshed? I mean, mom and daddy, they laid it on, and they used a hickory switch, or some people used a strop. You ever got it with a strop? Anybody in here ever got it with a strop? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. Now listen, parents in those days, they knew how to raise children. Now I know that these days they're looked upon as mean and medieval, and they're looked upon as outdated and archaic. But I'll tell you one thing, children sure used to have more respect for adults, and they love God more. There's something gone wrong in this generation of kids. One guy came over here from England, and he said, one of the things that really impresses me about America is how the parents obey their children. And brother, we're living in that day where the kids run the household. What the kids say goes first, what mama says goes second, and what daddy says goes third. And that is exactly opposite. And the way you know the devil's running the show is because it runs opposite from the way God wants it to run. Now, buddy, we may have some of those ERA proponents and Spock worshipers in here this morning, but you are in the wrong pew today, and I'm just going to just haul off and just preach to you what the Bible said about raising children, because that's my job, see? That's what the Lord called me to do, and what the church has given me to do, and I'm going to tell you this morning about your responsibility as a parent. And the first thing I want to say is, you have a responsibility to love your children. You say, well, Brother Danny, everybody loves their children. No, they don't. The Bible says one verse, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. There's lots of people in the world that don't love their children. Do you realize there are 4,000 calls a day in the United States of parents saying, my child is missing. They bring little kids into hospitals every single weekend in America, right here in McDowell County, where those little kids have been held holding water. And they run the bathtub full of water that deep, put the kid, they are burned from their waist down. They have cigarette burns on them. They put them in microwave ovens and turn the microwave on. One babysitter was keeping a child, put the little baby in the microwave, cooked it. She was on drugs so bad, she didn't know what she was doing. Set it on the table and told the parents they were having turkey when the parents got home. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that do not love their children. It goes on. Recently, we've seen things on the news and heard things where people are using their own child and make pornographic movies and all kinds of pornography and involving their children in sexual acts that absolutely defy the imagination. But you as a parent, I as a parent, we have a responsibility to love our children. There's one thing I've made up my mind to do. I want to make up my mind that I want to keep my girls and me, we've got to love each other. Daddy may not be able to give them everything they want. I might not be able to buy them all the nice clothes they want or cars or whatever. But there's one thing I want them to know, that even though I can't give them everything, that I love them. There's nothing more important to a child when they're growing up than mama and daddy's love. You wouldn't believe the kids that I've talked to and witnessed to. And I ask them a question. Did your mom and daddy ever tell you they love you when you was growing up? And they say no. You'd be surprised at the people. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you'd be surprised. There'd probably be 200 people in here this morning that never remember your daddy telling you that he loved you. Kids need to be loved and told that they're loved. You say, oh, they know I love them. I go to work every day and pay the bills. That's not enough. I heard about one parent who every night the little girl would say, Daddy, read me a story. And he'd go in there and he'd take a storybook and he would read the story. And the next night she'd say, Daddy, read me that story. You know, they want the same stories over and over and over and over. And he'd take that little storybook and read all those stories to his eyes about burning out. And he'd think, is she asleep? No, she ain't asleep. Read a little bit more. You're about to die, you know. Look, are they asleep? No, they're not asleep. They can stay awake for hours on end listening to them stories. And then the next night she'd say, Daddy, read me the story. And finally he said, now, honey, Daddy's got some stuff to do. He can't read you stories every night. But I'll tell you what Daddy's going to do. Daddy's going to put it on a tape. And so he read all those stories and put it on a little cassette tape. And he put that tape player in her room. And he said, now, Daddy can't come in here every night and read you a story. But Daddy's got it on tape. Whenever you want to hear a story, all you got to do is mash that button right there. And when you mash that button right there, you will hear Daddy reading the story. So the first night she went to bed and he heard her in there. He was in here at his desk working. He heard the little girl, mashed the button, read the story. Said, oh, thank God, I don't have to do that no more. And boy, it went pretty good for a night or two. About third night she come in there and she said, Daddy, come in here and read me a story. He said, honey, I told you, the stories are on the cassette player. All you got to do is mash the button and you'll hear the story. But she said, Daddy, I can't sit and it's loud. And then the daddy, it dawned on him that what his little girl was wanting wasn't the story, but it was the warmth and the love that her daddy could give her. I'm telling you, folks, a lot of people say, well, boy, I'm going to work an extra job, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pay for my kids' college education, and they're not going to have to work. I'll tell you something your kids need more than that, and I'll tell you something they want more than that, is their daddy to put their arm around them, set them in your lap, love them, be good to them, and don't just push them off time they come around you. You see that first little baby that's up here getting her picture took a while ago? When I was praying for this service this morning, she was climbing on my back. You say, Brother Danny, how do you pray with your baby climbing on your back? It's hard. She come in there and I was down, I heard her coming up the steps. I was down in the my chair that I pray on and I was down like this. I heard her coming around through there. I said, hey, honey. She said, hey, Dad. She come over there and I grabbed her and held her down like this. And I was saying, oh, God, bless the service today. Lord, help. And I was praying for y'all. And then about that time, she said, I'm going to get on your back. And I said, okay. Now, in my flesh, I want to say, honey, please get out of here. Daddy's got to preach this morning. I got to preach. There's going to be 600 people listening to me preach. I've got to have some power from God. I've got to have a touch from God. I need help. Get away from me, you brat. But something wouldn't let me say that. I thought, well, you hypocrite, you're going to be preaching on children. You better practice what you preach, right? So I said, so she climbed on my back. Here's the way she does. She gets each ear like this. And she gets on my back and just does like that. And it didn't bother me that because I was in a good mood since I was going to preach on this morning. But I'll tell you what, boy, you know what our temptation is as a parent? Many times your temptation as a parent is to just say, get out of here, boy. You bother me. Hey, leave me alone like that. You know that lots of times our kids need our love and what we're involved. Hey, there ain't no football game that's more important than having a little time with your child. There is no bowling league, ladies, that's more important than you spending some time with your child. I know you have to go. I've gotten my car to go preach at night, left my kids with a babysitter. I've seen my middle daughter the one that's 5 years old, stand at the door and look at me, and tears come down her face, crying because I was leaving. And buddy, it tore my heart out. And I thought, oh God, if you'll let me get back safe tonight from preaching, God, I want to hug her. I want to hold her. I believe our responsibility as a parent and a mama and daddy is to love. One of the Bible signs of the last days is that people will be without natural affections. You know that? And that is the day we're living in, no doubt. We're living in that day. Those children need to know that we love them. Those many little kids are taken into a room and they're set down. And a free and form 5 year old, they can sense when something isn't right in the house. Don't you ever doubt it. They know when mom and daddy's fussing. They can feel the atmosphere. And you may think they may be 2 years old, but they can tell a happy home from a fussing and fighting home. And many little kids, this happens every week. This happens every week right here in McDowell County. They take them into a little room. They sit down. And mama looks at them and say, honey, we have something to tell you. And daddy will look at them and she say, well, you want to go ahead? And you want to go ahead? And I will. Daddy's not going to be living here anymore. And the kid feels like, hey, you know what that's doing to them kids? It's just like taking a knife and sticking it in their stomach. I remember one time when my mom and dad got in an argument when I was just a little boy. And I remember my mom was standing at the ironing board, ironing clothes. And brother, she was standing there and dad and her was fussing. I don't know what they're fussing about. But my mama said this. Listen to me. My mama said, I'm leaving. And boy, when my mama said that, it was like a knife got in my stomach. It was like something swelled up inside me. And I said, no, no. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because a kid wants their mama and a kid wants her daddy. Kids don't want to have to choose. They don't want to have to stay with one and not the other one. They want their mama and their daddy. God help us to get back to the days where people cared more about their family and their kids and God than they do their own selfish desires and wants. They set those little, hey, it's heartbreaking what's going on in America today. And I know sometimes you can't help it, and I'm not fussing at you. I'm the same shape myself. And I know, I understand. If anybody in here understands what I'm talking about, I do, and many of you do. But I'll tell you, it's not worth it to hurt those kids like that. So, daddy can't live with you no more, honey. Daddy's going to go live somewhere else. And the kid says, why? Why, Daddy? He looks at Mama and says, me and your mother are having some trouble. We can't get along anymore. About that time, she says, oh, shut up. Won't you tell them about your girlfriend? That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. I've been through that with a bunch of people. And then they start using the kids to fight against each other. And then they start telling the kids, your daddy's no good. Your mother's no good. And the kids are caught right in the middle. And they say, but daddy, weren't you going to come and hug me at night? Daddy, I'll miss you. Daddy, I want you. Daddy, I want you. He said, now honey, every other Friday, daddy's going to come and see you. Daddy's going to buy you a brand new bicycle. That little kid don't want no bicycle. They want their daddy. They want their daddy. You hear me? You can't buy off a kid's love. You can't just turn it off and say, well, here, kids, here's $10. Quit hurting. That kid don't quit hurting. It never quits hurting. I've heard people say, oh, they'll get over it. Kids go through it all the time. Kids do go through it all the time, but they never get over it. I can show you people 30 years old right now that their mom and daddy separated when they was 10, 11, 12 years old. They ain't over it. Scars them for life. And you, please don't take me wrong. I know sometimes it cannot be helped. Sometimes the situation is it's just there and there's nothing you can do about it. In spite of all you can do, it happens. But I tell you something this morning. I think it's about time we fulfilled our responsibility to love. When you brought that kid into the world, you took on some responsibility. It ain't just you no more. You're supposed to care about them. Not only that, kids are your responsibility to discipline. Amen? Kids are your responsibility to discipline.
They said, give them one cup of Proverbs 22:6, two tablespoons of Proverbs 19:13, one dash of Proverbs 23:13, one teaspoon of Proverbs 3:5, half cup of Titus 2:3-7, and mix them all up, and a half a pound of persistence, a cup of love, and whip until the right consistency. That's awful, ain't it? And boy, I tell you what, that our Creator is the one that gave you that recipe. And this is His recipe book. And if you want your kids to turn out right, just follow His recipe. Now, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says use that rod. The Bible says use a rod. Hickory. There it is. Now, lay it up on the refrigerator. You got kids? Everybody in here don't understand why you lay it on the refrigerator? You ain't got no kids. Somebody tell them why you lay it on the refrigerator. Because they'll get it if you put it down here low. You won't be able to find it in your fit of rage. All right, so you know what's laying up on the refrigerator, don't you, boy? It's up there and it's going to get you. Now, the Bible teaches that they are to fear the rod. See? Not your hand. People say, well, I just whip my kid, don't do a bit of good. Now, I'll tell you two reasons why. Number one, you started too late. You started too late. Susanna Wesley said, I'm no expert, but I'm learning. Susanna Wesley said that you have got to conquer their will. Listen to me. Here's what she said. In order, quote, in order to form the minds of children, the first thing to be done is to conquer the will and bring them to an obedient temper. In other words, if you spank them and then they sass you in your face, you didn't spank them. Amen? Their will has got to be broke, just like a horse that ain't never been rode. You know, a horse, it'll buck and it'll kick. You know what they finally do? You break them. And when they're broke, you can ride them. Now look, here's what she said. To inform the understanding is a work of time and must be done with children, proceed by slow degrees as they are able to bear it. But the subjecting of the will is a thing which must be done at once, and the sooner the better. For by neglecting timely correction, they will contract a stubbornness and an obstinacy which is hardly ever after conquered. She said, if you do not conquer your child's will at an early age, they develop in them a stubbornness that they hardly ever get out of for the rest of their life. It gets them in trouble with the police. It gets them in trouble with God. It makes them think they can just do whatever they want to and nobody can boss them around. That's why a bunch of brats out here running around, burning their draft card, running around in the rock concerts and back and forth saying, nobody's going to tell me what to do because they wasn't turned over somebody's knee when they was a little kid and their wills weren't conquered. And you can't discipline them in school no more. Ain't that the dumbest thing you ever heard of? That's the dumbest thing you'll ever hear is taking a teacher and say, this is your kid. You got 35 kids in here. You handle them, but you can't discipline them. That's crazy, man. That's insane. That's impossible. Nobody better not never tell and say, here, babysit my kid, but don't correct it. Well, great day in the morning, man. What do you want me to do? Let them run the household? It can't be done. Cannot be done. Whenever a child is corrected, it must be conquered. And this will be no harder matter to do if it be not grown headstrong by too much indulgence. Self-will is the root of all sin and misery, so whatever cherishes this in children ensures their after wretchedness. Whatever checks and mortifies it promotes their future happiness. In other words, every time you correct a child when it's little, you're making them happy in the future. Not your hand, the rod. God has fixed a nice little place with padding on it. It won't break no bones. Won't hurt them. That's awful. I know some of y'all think I'm just a mean old person talking like that. My goodness, man, that'll keep them out of jail one of these days. Keep them out of trouble. It makes a kid grow up saying, there's some things you can't do. There's some lines you can't cross. There's some things that will get you in trouble. You can't just expect the whole world to bow at your feet, kids. There's some rules you got to go by. Like it or not. And if you don't believe that, you'll wind up in a prison house down there.
Now listen, mama's hand is supposed to mean love, right? When they see mama's hand, they're supposed to say, oh, the tender caresses of mother's hand. But if you spank them with your hand, when they, you know, when you might be going to pick your nose, the kids don't like it. Or she's going to smack me again. every time mama raises her hand, the poor little kid ducks. Come here, darling. Now, you know where your mistake is? They learn to fear your hand and not the rod. You say, come here, darling. They say, oh boy, everything's cool. But if you say, then they say, everything is uncool. See, they learn to fear the rod and not your hand. Children are a responsibility to discipline. You've heard me tell that story. I thought about it. It illustrates well a lot of little kids are. You know, there's a lot of little kids, they get their way at home. Then they get out in public and they pitch a dying fit, you know, and just embarrass their mother to death. A lot of women won't even go eat out in a restaurant or go anywhere. Like I said, I can't do nothing with this little brat. He's driving me crazy. I would hate to admit it if I weighed 200 pounds, a 200-pound woman can't handle a 2-pound baby. Or a 20-pound baby. I wouldn't tell nobody. I've seen them out in public, you know, and come out of the shopping center. Come on, darling. Ah! Ah! Come on, darling. Just dragging it across there. Come on, darling. Mommy, buy you ice cream. Ah! Ah! Ice cream! Ah! A pony! Mommy ain't got no quarter, honey. You can't ride a bike. Ah! Okay. Mommy goes in, gets a quarter. Put it on there. Put it on the pony, you know, and put that little quarter in there. Boy, it grins out for a minute. Just like that, you know. Whew, I'm glad I got this brat calmed down. And it says, come on, darling, let's go. I'm going to ride again. No, we got to go. Ah! That goes on all the time. Them people know where to put them ponies. They do. Now, your pony's a cheap way out, see? If you let them ride the pony, it ain't but a quarter, but them toys cost a whole lot more, so usually you can get off on them ponies. But son, I hate to stop and let them things, don't you? And you know what? The little girl, little kid, mom couldn't do nothing with him. She said, now, with him, and she said, now, son, she practiced unscriptural discipline. She would make him go to bed without supper, not watch TV, something like that, you know. Take away his Ninja Turtle mask. Not let him have his skateboard for a week or some fool thing like that. That ain't the Bible discipline. The Bible discipline is whack, boy, with that rod. Then you get it over with and everything's wonderful and you smile and have prayer and love each other. And you get it over with, see, it's gone. The little boy, he's cutting up, and his mama said, all right, son, in the closet. Made him sit in the closet. That's what she did. She'd set him in there, slam the door. Said, all right, now you stay in there, you can behave. She went in there and started washing the dishes. She noticed he was real quiet. There wasn't a sound come out of there. So I better go check on him. Walked in there, opened the closet door, and there he sat, just looking up at her. Like a little demon. He said, I spit on your coat. She said, what? He said, I spit on your shoes. She said, well, what are you doing just sitting there like that? And he said, I'm waiting on some more spit. Now, I tell you, that's what that closet stuff does. That ain't no good. That ain't no good. Now, as your kids get older, you're going to find out that they can... You better watch what you say around them. You better watch what you do around them. Because, boy, they can pick up on that hypocrisy. They'll say, all right, son, do this. But, Daddy, you did this. They can get you on that. Oh, shut up! You know, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, man, they can find out. Like that woman had some of the ladies from the church over, and they were all visiting over there at their house. And her daughter comes in and says, Mama, which one's old Miss Hypocrite? See, they can tell. And they will tell. Like, if you're a fake, they know it. So you have a responsibility to discipline. Right quickly, can I give you four rules about discipline? I'm just going to read these, and I'm going to go on and close in just a moment. Number one, always give the same punishment for the same crime. Don't let your mood determine the punishment. Most people don't ever spank their kids till they got a headache
or they're a nervous wreck, or they blow their top. That ain't, you don't supposed to spank kids when you get mad. You're supposed to spank them when? When they need it, right? Most times you're in a good mood. Ha, ha, yeah, yeah. Oh, it don't matter. She knocked over a base, broken it. They do the very same thing tomorrow, and you have to kill them. See? Always give the same punishment for the same crime. Number two, always give the punishment. Don't threaten them and then not do it. Don't say, all right, one more time, buddy, and you're going to get it. He does it again. I told you one more time. Now, he knows you're a liar. He knows you ain't going to get it. If you say you're going to do it, do it. I'll tell you what you're going to have to deal with. It's when you're out in public, you know, and they do something wrong, you're going to say, all right, buddy, when you get home, you're going to get it. Now, by the time you get home, you're not mad anymore. How many of you have went through that? And you're saying, aw, little old, poor little old thing. I can't spank it. You get feeling sorry for it. And they look at you real pitiful. And they come up, you know, and look at you. Like this. I tell you what, no matter how much it hurts, if you told them you was going to do it, you better do it. I know that sounds awful, it sounds mean, sadistic and all that, but you're teaching the kid to love God and that there's some things you can do and some things you can't do. Number three, when should you discipline a child? Before they can walk. Number four, consistency. Keep a consistent pattern or you'll confuse him. Don't come in one day and say, all right, bless God, we're laying the law down around here. No. Either do it or don't do it, but be consistent. All right, the last thing I'll say this morning, you have a responsibility to teach them. You, as a parent, have a responsibility to teach your child. I have seen parents with the audacity, when their kids get in trouble, to complain and blame it on the church and say, well, good night, we took him to church every Sunday. His Sunday school pre-teacher should have taught the preacher down there. Hey, man, you, as a parent, have the responsibility to teach your child about God and the Bible. You can, it's good, part of it is in church, part of it is in Sunday school, but a kid cannot get something 2 hours on Sunday morning. It means to see it in a parent's life all through the week, 7 days a week, and teach that Bible to them. Little boy's first Bible is the greatest thrill he's known. There's a sweet, unique excitement in a Bible all of his own. And yet my heart is smitten as this touching sight I see. Has his reverence for that Bible depended on me? As I see him with his Bible, I bow my head and pray. May he always love that Bible the way he does today. Then I hear a voice within me speaking solemn words and true. How he cherishes the Bible will depend a lot on you. I love my Bible better since I've seen the beaming joy this wonderful possession has afforded to my boy. May I seek to give mine daily a devotion he can see, for the love he bears his Bible will depend a lot on me. Many parents complain about their kids, saying, I'm ashamed of them. They don't go to church. They don't live right. They don't love the Bible. They don't go to church regular. And all they're doing is seeing a reflection of their self in their children. Let me tell you something. I wasn't planning on saying this, but it's come to my mind, and I told the Lord a long time ago, I said, Lord, I'll say whatever you want me to say. So here it comes. Your kid's attitude towards your church, your preacher, and everything depends on your attitude. I've heard kids come in and say, well, our preacher done this, and I don't think our preacher will do that, and our preacher doing that. You know where they got that stuff? They got it from the mama. And their daddy. As you know, my daughters go to a Christian school, Tabernacle Christian School in Morganton. My daughter told me not long ago that a girl come into their classroom who goes to a certain preacher that we all know, goes to his church, and she come in saying, our preacher done this, our preacher done that, I don't like him no more, and he's a smart aleck, and I don't
believing him no more. We're quitting the church. I'm not.
And she's like about 16, 17 years old. And you know what I told my daughter? I said, you know where she got that stuff? She got from mom and daddy running her mouth. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, well, Brother Danny, you better watch out because what will our kids think about you? I'll tell you what your kids will think about me. They'll think about me what you think. They say what you say. They do what you do. They follow in mama and daddy's footsteps.
Hey, I can tell. There's kids in this church, they'll run up to me and they'll say, Brother Danny, you're my favorite preacher. Brother Danny, they don't know one preacher from another. I know where they got that. They got it from their mom and daddy.
And I know that there's some mamas and daddies trying to set the right kind of example for their children
because of their children's attitude. You determine their attitude. Now, the way Don is teaching about authority is this. You may not agree with me, but I'm preaching this morning. You can go start your own church, preach anything you want to. Here's the way it goes. The authorities are always right. Even if they're wrong, they're right.
You ain't going to agree with that, some of you. If your kid comes home from school and says, my teacher made this, and my teacher said that, and it's not fair, and you know what you're supposed to do? You know what people used to do? You know what people do now? They say, all right, bless God, we'll go down there and take them to court and we'll sue them. They're not going to do this to my kid. You know what people used to do? They'd say, hey, boy, shut your mouth. If your teacher says do it, you do it. And if you don't do it, she'll spank you. And if she spanks you, I'll spank you when you get home. But now the kids come home and say, well, I know mama and daddy, they'll take up for me. Don't ever side with your child against the school until you've heard the school's side of the story. Don't ever do that, because they can make it sound, but mama, the teacher didn't do me right. Oh, I bet you 999 times out of 1,000 the teacher's right and the kid's wrong. They might be a rare exception. But you know as well as I know, them kids got a way of twisting the story and making it sound like they were treated wrong, they were mistreated, and they got cheated, and they were discriminated against. Brother, you know what? I tell my girl told me, she said, but Daddy, I made a bad grade. And I said, why, Carrie? She said, because my teacher, he can't teach. I said, hush! She said, well, he don't know. I said, don't say it! And you know what? She's blaming her bad grades on her sorry teacher. And I said, that ain't right. I said, you got a book, don't you? Study it.
And you make some good grades. There's other kids in there making good grades. They got the same teacher you got. You see? You got to teach them. And the last thing I'm saying is we're going to face them at the judgment one of these days. It's going to be a sad day at the judgment when girls point their finger at mother and say, mama, you taught me how to dance, and you taught me how to drink, and you taught me how to smoke, and you taught me how to put on my makeup so the boys would like me, and you taught me how to twist my figure. Mama, you never taught me how to pray. You never taught me how to touch heaven. You never taught me how to get a hold of God. And we're going to answer to God for how we raise our children. Now, I know we're living in a difficult day. I think it's a good thing that kids are involved. I think sports are good for kids because it teaches them competitiveness. It teaches them that they've got to go by rules. It teaches them stamina. There's a lot of good things about sports. But I'll be quick to add, we've made a god out of sports in this generation when a lot of kids are brought up to believe that if they excel in sports, it's the greatest thing in life. It's not the greatest thing in life. It's not the greatest thing in life. I'd rather my girls be up here in this youth choir, singing for God, playing a special on the piano, singing in church, giving a testimony at a youth rally, than I had to be the star basketball player at McDowell High, Miss America, you name it. I mean that. I'd rather them. I believe God's more pleased with it. Nothing wrong with sports in their right place. Nothing wrong with Little League in its right place. But just make sure you always teach them, parents. The most important thing is their relationship with God. Let's stand and bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
I'm going to come and we're going to sing a song this morning, just real quick, about two songs. Maybe there's some parents in here this morning say, Brother Danny, me and my wife, me and my husband, we've been even talking about separation and divorce. And I realize now that we've got a responsibility to raise those kids for God. The standard excuse is, well, it's better to separate than it is to stay together and fuss all the time. That's a standard excuse. Hey, I got another suggestion. Stay together and don't fuss all the time. How about that? You can do it if you'll both get right with God. Now, if one of you won't get right with God, you can't do it. I understand that. I'm not fussing at you. But if both of you will get right with God and try, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it if both of you will get right with God and try. Maybe there's some here this morning. Say, preacher, I just want to be a better parent, better mother, better dad, and I'm coming to the altar. You can call him right now. Father, do what ought to be done. God, help us. Oh, Lord God, what a responsibility we've got to raise our children. Lord, help me. Make sure my priorities are right. And raise my girls to love you and serve you. Lord, please, please, please let them grow up to love you and serve you. Please, Lord, let them grow up to love Jesus. Put something inside of them. Put something in their heart that'll make them love you on their own, Lord. Not just off of me. But, Lord, let them love you on their own. Please put something inside of them that'll do that. Not only for my girls, but for all these other parents, children here this morning. Do it, Lord. Do it, dear God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
191.
We're going to sing number 191. We've already got some come to the altar. God spoke to your heart this morning. You say, Brother Danny, I want to be the kind of parent God wants me to be. Just come on down here and get down on your knees and let's pray. Turn it over to God. You single parents, you that are raising kids as a single parent, you've got a 5 times harder job. Some of you are having to be mother and daddy. Some of you are having to be mother, daddy, breadwinner, babysitter, and everything. You're having to do it all by yourself. Hey, listen, God will give you extra grace. God will give you extra strength. And your kids are going to have a special touch from God if the devil don't get them. If you need to come, you come on right now. Come on right now. Amen. All right, let's sing. Everybody, sing it.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Little ones to Him belong.
Yes.
They are weak, but He is strong.
Everybody say,
yes, Jesus loves me.
Sing it.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Well, that sounds good this morning. God touched your heart this morning. Has the Lord touched your heart? And you say, Brother Danny, I do realize that my kids are important. I've been neglecting them a little bit, just caring about myself. I want to be a better mama or a better daddy in front of my children. It's the only hope they've got, friend. How about it? While we sing this second verse, this will be the last verse and we'll go. Come on right now. Sing it.
Jesus, everybody, loves me. He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin.
Yes.
Let the little child come in.
Sing.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, I believe everyone's through praying. Thank God for what He's done for us. Appreciate these that's been on the altar. Remember the service this evening. Choir will practice at 5:30. And God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Have a good afternoon. Amen. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.